Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
The Golden Globe goes to
Slumdog Millionaire. Golden Globes, or the GGs, as we very affectionately refer to them. Your mad, pulsating affection for our film is much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
There's been a very long road back for me, and I'm not a really good public speaker. I was kind of hoping Robert Downey would come up here and talk for me a little bit.
Some of the sounds from the Golden Globes last night. Best Picture. Best Actress and Actor in Motion Pictures. It's the award season. That's when all the glitterati gather together and they sit and mug for the camera and then accept their awards. And we go see these films, and some of them, our guest here in this half hour of the program has said in the past that he believes that the modern cinema is, in fact, high art in our culture. It's not often viewed as high art, but it can be. We're going to be talking about the Golden Globes for the next half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 12th of January. Our call-in number right here in the studio, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can also email questions or comments to us right here in the studio as well. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Brian Gadowell will be our guest for about the first 15 minutes, and then we'll turn to some of the Golden Globe Television Awards. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will join us for that. In the last half hour of the program, Dr. Arthur Just will join us. Yesterday, the church remembered the baptism of our Lord. We'll do it as well. In the last half hour, Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. Brian Gadow is a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, welcome back.
Well, thanks a lot, Todd.
You called it, I think. I don't think you called it for the Golden Globes, but the last time we talked with you doing a movie review around holiday time, you said that Slumdog Millionaire was a must-see and probably the best you'd seen in a while.
Yeah, definitely. At least since Dark Knight. So, yeah, great to hear it. It's Slumdog Millionaire is a story of I dropped my phone here. Slumdog Millionaire is a story of that takes place in India, and it's a story of a young kid who wins the who wants to be a millionaire in India. And what's so amazing is he actually is a little orphan kid from the slums who grew up. And so the fact that he wins like the top prize in the show is shocking to people. How can he possibly know those answers without cheating? So the police investigate him and try to find out, how did you know the answers? And in the course of, we have his story as a flashback as we see throughout his life as a young orphan in the slums of India. And I think it's Bombay, is it? Mumbai. And it shows his life and his pursuit of his love with this little girl that he knew. So the story is a very hopeful, optimistic love story in the midst of great poverty and squalor. And I think that it's really resonating with a lot of people because of that.
You say it's not a good film. It's not just about good character development, plot, whatever it may be, but also about the worldview that is presented. While it might not be explicitly Christian, in the case of the Christian filmgoer, it can resonate with the themes that are inherent in both the Christian faith and the Christian worldview. How does Slumdog Millionaire do this?
Well, Slumdog is a love story that is about It's about eternal love. It's about a young boy who loves a girl who has terrible experiences in life. They get separated. She gets, you know, abused and destroyed by other men. But his love for her is unwavering to the very end. And his pursuit of her is sort of like God's pursuit of us. But I think it's also just simply, you know, the definition of love that we all seek to have would be someone who has unconditional love for us, despite what we've been through, despite the bad choices we may have made. And that love is redeeming. And then secondly, it's really a story of fate. And, you know, you'll see references throughout the film that reference it. And basically, in other words, they were fated to be together. He was fated to know those answers. And in that sense, it has probably more of a Hindu version rather than a Christian understanding would be providence. The Hindu understanding is more like fate, and they were meant to be together. But nonetheless, that fate notion does resonate with us in that those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ or believers in God, we have that notion that God works things out for the good in our lives.
Now, you mentioned very briefly a moment ago The Dark Knight, the latest Batman movie, which I thought just as a fan of the genre was really great. We've talked about it before. Heath Ledger, of course, passed away before the movie was premiered, and then he was awarded posthumously best performance by an actor in a supporting role in a motion picture, and it was a kind of a sad moment for everybody. But talk a bit about the face, literally and figuratively, of evil that he brought to the screen in that film.
Yeah, Heath Ledger was really phenomenal, and he definitely will win the Oscar. There's just no doubt about it in my mind. And of course, he did win the Golden Globe as well. And in that presentation, he captures the essence of evil. The Joker is an unusual villain. Most Hollywood movies, the villain has there's a reason why he's evil. You know, he was abused as a little child, or you know, he grew up in poverty, whatever, you name it. There's always some reason why people do evil things. And of course, in real life, that's true. But in Batman, he more represents the true malevolence of evil. And so the filmmakers deliberately made him to be sort of mysterious and not know where that came from because he, as he says, he's an agent of chaos. It's sort of like he's more the essence of evil than just an evil person. And in that sense, sometimes, you know, I think it addresses a modern psychological humanistic understanding of man in that, oh, people do these bad things because they were abused. You know, in other words, blame shifting our evil onto other things, whether it's genetics, whether it's upbringing, environment, whatever. But in this case, he just sort of says, he makes the point that, no, you know, some people just do things because they're evil. And that's sort of the essence of what he captures. But in that movie, he really is kind of the Nietzschean Übermensch, if you've heard that term before, and he even makes Nietzsche references in the movie. And in a sense, he represents where our postmodern society is going. The ultimate man who creates his own values is ahead of the curve, is ahead of society, and society rejects him because they don't understand that he's a logical consequence of their own ideas. And so he makes moral references throughout the film. He believes that, you know, man is ultimately evil in their heart, and I think that's what makes Dark Knight such a powerful film, is because it really is the struggle of morality between not just good and evil generically, but how far do you go? How far does the good man go to fight evil without becoming evil, you know? And it wrestles with those moral dilemmas, which makes it a great film. But and Heath really just brought a real unique take on that.
What did you make of Steven Spielberg, who's already garnered his fair share of accolades throughout the better part of his career, receiving the Cecil B. DeMille recognition for his life as a director and a producer?
Well, you know, I mean, I think he deserves it. I mean, he's definitely not, I don't think he's ever been really awarded by the Academy, you know. And for whatever political reasons, you know, maybe because he makes all the feel-good movies. Of course, Schindler's List wasn't, and neither was The Color Purple. But I don't think he's ever really been given the kind of praise that he deserves as a filmmaker who has altered the course of film history because of the way he engages in storytelling. His storytelling has done so. Now, you know, he's become more politically motivated in these later years, and therefore, I think in some ways more uninteresting. Nonetheless, you know, he definitely deserves it. I mean, many people consider Spielberg as, oh, he's, you know, the candy popcorn movie maker, you know, that, oh, the millions love to go see his movies, but they're really sort of pablum for the common man. And I disagree. I think that he engages in very rich drama storytelling, and it's just that, you know, he knows how to tell a story, and he knows certain things that have to be there in order for millions and gazillions more people to love the movie. And just because he's good at that, just because he's good at making money in his movies, doesn't mean they're not good movies.
Best actor and actress, two very different roles, two very, very different actors. Kate Winslet in Revolutionary Road. What were your thoughts there with about a minute before we take our first break?
Kate is always phenomenal. I love her. That movie, I wouldn't recommend it. It's a real attack on traditional American morality from the 50s, and it sort of deconstructs it, and it's got a very accusatory notion towards those values. But she's very good in it. She's directed well. There's some of the directing I don't think was good, so her acting showed that, but I think she's so good that she did her character well.
Mickey Rourke, who has had a very spotty career as an actor, apparently delivered one that garnered him the Golden Globe for The Wrestler with only about 30 seconds. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, he really deserves it. You know, I looked through the list of nominations this year. I definitely think he deserved that. Although, ironically, in some ways, from what I understand, the character he plays is a down and out, over the hill, you know, wrestler from the, you know, literally from the, you know, the funny wrestling that's on TV. And he's trying to make a comeback, but it, you know, he no longer has the crowds, and but he can do nothing else in life, and so it's sort of the story of his demise. Ironically, from what I understand, his personal life is kind of similar to that. So I don't know if he was acting all that much, but he definitely puts a great performance in The Wrestler, and I would highly recommend it for that reason.
Brian Goodow is our guest. He'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break, talking about last night's Golden Globe Award winners in motion pictures. Then we'll talk a little bit about the Golden Globes in television. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will be our guest when we come back. The animated films are sometimes best. I don't know that WALL-E, that won the Golden Globe last night, would qualify in Brian's book as one of the best. We'll see what he has to say after this.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. And you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org. Click Promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is full of resources to help you and your congregation observe the season of Lent. It's titled, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. It contains devotions, Bible studies, sermons, children's messages, and bulletins for the Lenten season. You can purchase O Sacred Head Now Wounded by calling Concordia Publishing House, 800-325-3040, or click the CPH logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
When you do this show, the first thing you want to say is, thank you, Tina, thank you, Tina, thank you, Tina. And I do want to say thank you to Tina Fey.
And to my husband Jeff. Yeah, I love you, and thank you.
Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey, they were recognized together, actor and actress. 4:30 Rock in television. We'll talk a little bit about the Golden Globes in television with Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer here in just a few moments on Issues Etc. Brian Gadow is our guest. We're still in motion pictures with him. Let's talk a little bit about WALL-E, another Disney-Pixar collaboration, and it's visually stunning. What did you think of it as a film? Did it deserve the recognition it got last night?
Well, I think it did. And, you know, the other movies were good, Bolt and Kung Fu Panda, but I definitely think WALL-E has a richness and a depth to it that goes beyond. And, you know, it's the story of this little robot called WALL-E, and he's on the planet, you know, sort of a, not a post-apocalyptic world, but certainly a post-populated world that's all full of pollution and junk because we've polluted the whole land and we've moved off into space on a giant ark. And so he's just all about, he's a little robot that's just supposed to be cleaning up and taking care of the infinite amount of rubbish that is left on the planet. And it, you know, and then this little robot, another little alien robot comes, and there's sort of a relationship between the two. And the story it almost becomes two different movies, because then it goes off into space, and he comes in contact with the arc of human beings and what they've become as a result of it. And it's sort of actually it's a little Christ story, because it was written by a Christian, and he talked about how he, you know, made WALL-E into a little bit of a Christ story, and how, you know, people are rescued by WALL-E. It's similar to how Christ rescued us. So yeah, I think it's good. It's rich, and it's good. It's great for adults as well as kids.
Two quick final questions. Do you think anything was overlooked last night that should have been recognized?
Yeah, Dark Knight. I mean, Dark Knight could have won the best movie of the year. Like I said, though, you know, for me, it's between that and Slumdog. It's hard to decide. If I have to pick, I would probably, yeah, I don't know if I can pick. So anyway, Dark Knight's the one big one for me that I can think of off the top of my head. And in terms of performances, I can't really think of any.
Okay, then finally, what is the one best piece of advice that you give to Christians as they enter into this genre of art and sometimes just raw entertainment that is the motion picture industry?
Well, read my book, Hollywood Worldviews, before you do. But seriously, the advice I would give is that if you want to get into it as a Christian, you have to love the art. You have to love movies for what they are, not merely as a tool. If you see the movies as a tool to, quote, communicate the gospel, although it can do that, if you just see it as a tool rather than loving it in and of itself for what it is, then, you know, you're going to turn it into a vehicle for propaganda, and you're not going to be making very good movies. And so God loves the arts in and of itself. God loves movies. And, yes, you do communicate a worldview through the art. You can communicate a Christian faith in a story of faith through your narrative, but if you just see it as mostly that, then I think you're missing the boat, and you're going to really not do the purpose of the kingdom a very good cause.
Brian Gadow is a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Turning from motion pictures to television, the big screen to the small screen, we're joined now for the next few minutes of the program by Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer, Director of Admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He joins us to talk a little bit about Golden Globe Awards for television. There weren't as many, of course, but the one that won Best Television Series Drama, Mad Men, has kind of a madness following it. Our call-in numbers, we're coming to you live this Monday, the 12th of January, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. After a short conversation with Scott Stiegemeyer, the last half hour of the program is devoted to one of the pivotal moments in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. It comes at the very beginning, his baptism. We'll find out why Jesus is baptized in the first place as we talk with Dr. Arthur Just in just a few minutes here on Issues Etc. Scott, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, how are you, Todd?
I'm doing well. How are things in Fort Wayne?
It's nice and cold and gloomy. but we're happy.
Nice, cold, and gloomy. Those things don't go together. Let's talk a little bit about Mad Men, this TV drama that got a Golden Globe last night. Tell us about it.
Well, Mad Men is a program that's on AMC, basic cable, and it's an hour-long drama. It's set in 1962. Mad Men refers to, apparently, that's a term that was used to refer to Madison Avenue advertising men, Mad Men. And so it's a fictional advertising agency on Madison Avenue in 1962 that tries to show a slice of that time period. And I think it's really one of the most interesting things on television right now.
What do you find interesting about it? Not only about the characters and the setting for the drama, but about the fact that it's set in a time which many people consider now very quaint and politically completely incorrect.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the press that has been that the show has received has been about the very astute attention to detail as far as the clothes and the styles and so forth. So that's all very interesting and nostalgic, and people enjoy that aspect of it. But and you mentioned the political incorrectness. What I find really, really fascinating is how it portrays relationships between the genders, between the sexes, and the races. You know, social identity, and so much of what we today sort of take for granted in terms of what makes polite discourse. And how, you know, I mean, I wasn't born yet in 1962. I don't know about you, but what I've read is that a lot of people who were in the ad agency or who were in sort of a high pressure New York office environment in those days, the early days of the, you know, right after the baby boom and the days of the Cold War, people were talking, people that have reflected on that period have said that it's accurate in terms of how it shows the relationships between the sexes in the home and in the workplace.
So many Christians regard television as toxic. They just think that you have to do too much bone spitting to watch any of it. Should Christians avoid television? About 1 minute.
Avoid television altogether?
Yeah.
I know families that do, and I certainly respect that. I know Christians who have really no use for television, and I can understand that. And, you know, in your segment before when you were talking to Brian Godawa and you mentioned his book, Hollywood Worldviews, you know, he talks in there about movies and viewing movies with discernment. And I think that television is one of those media that can be participated in or can be consumed. We can be consumers of it as long as we are discerning and use discernment. And there is a lot of toxic material on television. I mean, there's no question about it, and I don't want to try to candy coat anything. But I do think at the same time there's some, if not entirely perfectly wholesome material, there is some very culturally relevant material for us. And not everything is entirely toxic. Much of it is a mixed bag. There's some good as along with not so good.
Is there a way to kind of using Christ's framework in but not of, to be aware of what's there, but without remaining unstained by sin, as the apostle says?
Sure, I think that's key. I mean, you know, on the one hand, as Christians in the world, it is useful, I suppose, to have knowledge of the world, to be in it but not of it, but to know. I mean, even St. Paul, on Mars Hill, of course, the oft-quoted passage where he refers to Greek poetry. He was familiar with pagan literature. He, you know, doesn't mean that he endorsed everything that the pagans did and believed. 1 Corinthians 15, he quotes pagan Greek source, including a playwright. And so if he's familiar with that, and he was a Pharisee, but he was also, in a sense, a man of the world, I guess. And it is helpful for us as Christians, certainly to be aware of these things and to know these things. But you know, at the same time, I do want to say in like for Mad Men and maybe some of the other programs, television's a little harder than movies, I think, to try to criticize and critique as a Christian, because it's with you longer. There's more of it. You know, a series is much more than just a 1 hour and 40 minutes. I think that there's still something redeemable in some of the programming that's being recognized.
Scott Stiegemeyer is Director of Admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Scott, thanks so much for being our guest.
It's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Look, I mean, it's there in the house, and if it's not there, it's everywhere. I was at the bank this morning, television on. I was in earlier this morning, sitting in a couple waiting rooms, television. It's on. Seems like it's always on. Now, turning it off is a pretty good solution. I mean, it's not just a better way to spend your evening sometimes, but the Christian does need to know the landscape, does need to be aware of the world in which he lives. And television is a window into that world. It's a window one doesn't want to crawl through and enter. A window one may occasionally peer into to see what is happening. We need to be able to navigate the world where Christ has placed us. And being aware of it, at the very least, is part of that. When we come back, the church is remembering the baptism of Jesus Christ our Lord. Why did Jesus submit to baptism, a sinner's baptism, in the first place? We'll answer that question after the break with Dr. Arthur Just.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A fish in the womb? Surely not.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the speakers at our national Answers for Darwin conferences coming next month.
Okay, picture this. A teenage girl walks into a doctor's office. She's a few weeks pregnant and wants an abortion. Now the doctor, in this case is actually a Christian friend of mine, gives her a paper and pen and says, okay, draw what you think your baby looks like at this stage. Well, she drew something that looked like a jellyfish or a fish, nothing that resembled a human being. Then the doctor showed the girl what was in her womb was really a human baby, with arms, legs, face, and so on. She was shocked. Now, where did she ever get the idea that her baby looked like a fish? You know, sadly, this false information comes through our education system and also in many clinics to justify abortion. And ardent evolutionists popularized this idea that as an embryo develops in its mother's womb, it goes through supposed evolutionary stages of a jellyfish, fish, reptile, and so on. But this was shown to be false years ago. But it still lingers. Human embryos are fully human.
Is the idea of global warming false? For a balanced view, call and get a copy of our new handbook on global warming. We'll send it in the mail to you after you present our nonprofit ministry with a donation of any amount. Call toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or visit our website, answersoffer.org.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.